Your minds are clean. Your lives are spotlessly pure, perfect. Have you ever noticed our rooms? They are clean for a little while, and then a lot of stuff comes into them. So we have a method to keeping the room inside, room between your ears, clean for a long, long time. And the room just under your chest here, in your heart, shiny and radiant for a long, long time. And one of those ways is by doing some metta, loving kindness. And I usually keep the metta meditation to the end of the retreat, simply because I like keeping the best till the last. And that metta meditation, it's just become a tradition now when I teach a retreat, to finish off the 9 days or however long with a loving kindness meditation, to take all your energy, to get it together, to bring it to a point, and to focus it on the wishing, or rather the aspiration for all beings in this whole wide universe to be happy and well and free of suffering, including yourself. But to do a loving kindness meditation, you may have tried that before, where the teacher says, start off with yourself first of all. Because if you can't find loving kindness towards yourself, how can you find it towards other people? And what that means, you never get past that first stage. Just like that monk who went to grade 1 3 years in a row, he could never graduate. And sometimes that's what happens when people do loving kindness to themselves. They can't graduate, they can't get past that point, because that's the hardest thing to do. So there is another way around that. And to get around that, you like to give the simile of lighting a fire. If you light a fire, you don't get the match and put it against a big log, because the log will never burn. It's just too big. And that's like trying to give loving kindness towards yourself at the beginning. It's too big. So you have to start with easy things first of all. So we try and start with an easy object. If we start with an easy object, it's like putting a match to a piece of paper. It always takes the flame and starts burning. And once we have the paper lit, then we put little bits of what we call kindling, these slivers of wood. And once they are lit, thicker pieces of wood. And once they are lit, bigger pieces of wood. And once they take the flame, then big logs. And once they take the flame, the wet, sappy logs, which is you. You're a wet, sappy log. And it's amazing. Once that fire is very, very hot, it can burn anything. And that is the wonder of metta meditation. You start with easy objects and start building up the metta. More and more and more. And it's amazing, it starts to become easier and easier to give loving kindness to harder things. And even to enemies. You know, your ex, your boss at work, the person who hurt you so much in the past. It's easy to do that once you've got a very hot fire, because the hottest of fires can burn the wettest of logs. And you usually leave yourself the very last. For 2 reasons. Number one, it's hard to give love to yourself. Really, 100% unconditional love. The whole thing. Not the part of you which you like, but the all of you. It reminds me, when I had to try this in Thailand as a young monk, we were trained to think, may all beings be happy and well. May all beings be free of sufferings. May all beings not be parted from their happiness. May they all be free from fear. We went on like this. It was impossible. Because I found myself saying, may all beings be happy and well, except for mosquitoes, except for that monk next door who always gives me a hard time, except for, there's always these exceptions. And that's the difficulty of loving kindness. If it's loving kindness, no exceptions. It has to be for the whole universe. So to get to that stage where you don't have any exceptions, you start with easy objects first, build it up. And so by the time you get to yourself. It's the whole of you. Everything you've ever done. May Ajahn Brahm be happy and well, in spite of all his bad jokes. May he be free of suffering and live a long life so he can tell these jokes again next year. So it's like loving a person in spite of everything. In other words, the whole thing. The door of your heart is open to you. Totally. So you, the whole lot comes in. Not the part you like, but the part you don't like as well. You know that there's some key stories which I give, and a couple of times during the interviews I told that story of the two bad bricks in the wall. And it's a very old story, but it's a good one. You know, laying the first wall in Bodhinyana Monastery, two bricks were crooked, and that caused me so much suffering. I couldn't get them out. I tried to blow up the wall, but they wouldn't allow me to get any dynamite to blow it up. So no, you lay a wall, and the two bricks, they're the ones which stand out. And so for 3 months I suffered because of that. Had nightmares. Really, I woke up and I'm like, you stupid monk, everyone can see your mistake. I stuffed up. You know, it's supposed to be a monastery. You're supposed to be mindful. Look at those two bad bricks. Just what an idiot you are. And that's how you think when you make a mistake. You dwell upon it. You obsess about it. And after 3 months, this guy came along. They saw that wall. They said it was a beautiful wall. I said, are you blind? Can't you see those two bad bricks? And they said, yes, I can see those two faults, but I can also see the 998 good bricks as well. And that was just such an amazing experience, because it was me who was blind. It was me who could not see the 998 good bricks. All I could see are my faults. And nothing else. My eyes would just go to those two bad bricks. There they are. They're the ones I couldn't see. And when he told me that, that just changed a lot. And that helped me with loving kindness. Because when you see the whole wall of yourself, it's easy to appreciate it. The guy was right. It was a beautiful wall. But the nicest part of that story was what happened a few years later. Because I told that story a lot. It's actually the first story in Opening the Door of Your Heart. And when I told that story to a cancer group, one of the guys came up at the end and he said he was a builder. He had cancer, something or other. And he was a builder and he said, look, all professional bricklayers make those mistakes. I've never met a bricklayer who doesn't lay one or two crooked bricks from time to time. But he said, I'll let you into a secret. In the building industry, when somebody makes a mistake like that, we tell our client it's a feature. And we charge them an extra $3,000. And that's the best part of that story. Because all your mistakes, that makes you, that's your feature, and that makes you more valuable, more lovable, more interesting as a person. If you were perfect, you'd be a pain in the ass. You wouldn't be human, would you? So it's, you know, the imperfections which make you lovable. As long as there's not too many bad bricks in the wall, that is. So understanding that, that's how you can love yourself, the whole lot, with, including the two bad bricks. They're your feature, which makes you who you are. Because of that, it's a way of extending your wisdom to allow loving kindness to happen. And when you start that loving kindness, it really gets very, very strong. So during the meditation on loving kindness, which we'll do shortly, now I will lead you through this. It's a guided meditation. But it's not just, I do a lot of speaking during this meditation just to try and get that fire of loving kindness going. But there's something else which I mentioned during these talks, which is very important on the loving kindness meditation. You find that every emotion, every mental state does have a corresponding physical state to it. In other words, when you have a feeling of loving kindness, there's a sensation somewhere in your body which you can associate with loving kindness. It's a certain type of tingling in your chest for me and for most people. It's the same when you're anxious, it's another type of feeling in your body which you can notice. If you're afraid, it's another type of feeling. You know, it's very helpful to understand your emotions by understanding the corresponding physical sensations which always arise when that particular emotion comes. But when the emotion of loving kindness comes, of metta, may all beings be happy and well, or may this being be happy and well, may they be free of suffering, you can feel it in your chest. And that gives you an indication, yeah, this is loving kindness starting to develop. And that sort of tingling, you get used to it. Remember that you get recognized, familiar, be at ease with it, and you can allow it to grow. And that helps you develop the loving kindness. It's a feeling there, something which is not just a thought, something tangible, which you can get your head around, be mindful of, and allow to develop and get stronger and stronger. And of course, it's a very pleasant feeling. You know, to love, to forgive, to be kind is one of the great mental pleasures. So after a while, you get off on it. You get happy with it. It becomes delightful. You have a great time. And again, meditation is supposed to be fun and happy, to give you a great time. So when it starts to come up and you really start getting off on it, go for broke. Cry your eyes out, just have the biggest smile on your face, split your face in half with your grin, whatever it is. We've got doctors here, we can stitch it up again afterwards. Really go for it and indulge in the happiness and the bliss of loving kindness, because it really works. And it has other long-term benefits, not just, you know, getting off and getting happy. It has huge benefits, health benefits and other benefits. We have all these incredible stories in our tradition of people doing loving kindness meditation. There was one of the monks, he's still alive now, and he's a really great monk, he stayed here for a while. His loving kindness was incredible, really, really powerful. And he was the monk who, when he was meditating in the jungles, now some of you are afraid of spiders, and Daniel was telling me all the spiders in this place, but listen to this monk. He was staying in the jungle, meditating with a few other monks. And a snake came, a cobra, a king cobra. Now those king cobras are huge. Now the one I saw once, I've only seen one king cobra, the one I saw was not quite the length of this room, but maybe over half the length of this room anyway. Huge, it's like a serpent. And when you see those things in real life in the jungle, you sort of rub your eyes and say, is this real? Am I imagining it? It's huge. And in that part of Thailand, they gave them a nickname. There's no local names for local animals. And the local name was the one-step snake. That's what it was in now. One-step snake. And the reason they gave it that name was, if it bit you, that's all you had left before you die. One step. It's really venomous. So if you're afraid of these little tiny spiders, imagine this big snake coming. So this big snake came. Huge snake. And because it makes a noise, all the monks opened their eyes and they saw it. It went right for this senior monk. And it lifted up its big head, opened its hood, massive hood, right in front of the monk's nose. What would you do? That would test whether you got some meditation going or not. Number one, you can't run. Those snakes, they can run much faster than you can. And even they can swim too. That's even the snakes here. I mean, that's a variety of me. You saw a snake in the monastery swimming across the town, happy as ever. They swim really fast. There's no place you can hide. You can go up the tree, they can go up the tree. Wherever you go, they go. So, he knew he couldn't run away because the snake would outrun him, no trouble at all. So what did he do? He looked at that snake and he raised his hand and he patted snake on the head. Thank you for coming to visit me. Could you do that? Pat a king cobra on the head? He did it. All the other monks saw it. Real. And that snake, because that monk has such amazing loving kindness. The snake. If you could see the snake's mouth, it would be turned up at the edges. Oh, give me more. You know, it's so rare that a snake gets a patting on the head. He loved every minute of it. Oh, yeah, more, more, more. The monk. So after a couple of minutes or 5 minutes, when the snake had his head patted, you know, he drew in his hood, and he put his head down, he went to go and see the other monk. Lifted up his head, opened up his hood to get a patting from another monk. Another monk, no way, you go back to him. But he was a monk who could pat snakes. And that monk came here right at the very beginning when we were building, you know that hall you've been to at Bodhinyana Monastery? We were building that hall. And he was there. He came to spend a rains retreat with us. And then one day, while we had the building application in at the local council, the mayor of the council came for a visit to check up on us, to see, you know, what we were doing, because he was going to approve or not approve the buildings there. And this was like an Australian farmer. You know, he came in a suit, but the buttons were straining because he had much bigger pot belly than I've got. And it was really, really pronounced, in a big sort of fat pot belly. And this monk, this Thai monk, before I could stop him, went up to the mayor and started patting him on the belly. He started rubbing it. Oh no, you can't do that in Australia. That's the mayor. I thought, okay, no more monastery, no more building permission. We're going to be thrown out of this place. That mayor, he was amazing to watch, because he started like laughing, like gurgling, like a baby. He hadn't had his tummy rubbed for so many decades. He loved every minute of it. We got our building permission. He became a really good friend after that. Otherwise, we'd come up to get his belly patted. No, he never did that, but. It's amazing what you can do with some loving kindness. you can pat anybody's belly and they will probably just start gurgling with love and happiness. Because it's your loving kindness, that's what really happens. And you get so nice and so kind that even the animals, they will never harm you. You know, if you've got so much loving kindness, they tend to protect you because they know they're safe around you. So that's one of the wonderful ways of developing sort of immunity in this world. It says so in the suttas, if you do loving kindness, you don't get into any problems with such beings or other animals. You have such a good heart. Even the animals know that. With such a good heart, you'll never be harmed. You'd always be protected. That's a lovely, lovely thing to do. So that's what we were always taught as monks. We were going out in the jungles, all sorts of beings there. Always have lots of loving kindness. Not fear, but metta. And then that will protect you more than anything else. Not only that, it also helps you in your life as well. When you have loving kindness, you can melt anybody. The story, I'll make sure I don't speak too much because I suppose it's a meditation. There was one of the friends over in Sydney. Now you probably know her, some of you, Julie. She told me this story. It's a brilliant story. She doesn't mind me telling it. I asked her a few times and she said, no, it's a good story. She had a business, a clothing business. She started herself, built it up from scratch, and it's doing really, really well. And she said that she had this contract being negotiated with this big firm over in London, worth a lot of money. And, you know, doing the negotiations over the phone and email and stuff. And then it was time to sign the contract. So they invited her to come over quickly to London. They were ready to sign the contract. So she had this small daughter, this Holly, a little Holly, had to be left at home with her father. And she, you know, got on the first available flight to London. It's a long way from Sydney to London. And so when she arrived, she only had time, she said, to check into a hotel, get a quick shower, get changed, and go to the, you know, the headquarters to meet the directors and the CEO. So, you know, imagine jet lagged and really tired. And when she went into the boardroom, the directors were already there, but the CEO hadn't come yet. And when the directors asked her who she was and what she was doing there, and remembered, yes, she was this lady going to get this contract signed, they looked at her and said, you might as well go back on the next plane to Sydney, because the CEO is in a really filthy mood. He's been shouting at everybody. He's really upset. We don't know why. There's no way in the world will you ever get your contract signed. You wasted your trip. And of course, like most people would do, this is what Julie did. She said, look, I've come all this way. At least I'm going to see the fellow. Even if he shouts at me and refuses to sign a contract, at least I'm going to see him. Suit yourself. So, you know, it's going to be in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. So what did she do? She sat in a corner and did her loving kindness meditation. Now, if you can pat snakes on the head, maybe you can pat filthy CEOs on the head as well with loving kindness. So she did her loving kindness meditation. And of course, she was still in that meditation when the CEO came in. Who's that? What's she doing here? And please excuse me, but you know, I'm not allowed to get angry as a monk. So every time I'm telling a story when someone's angry, I really enjoy it because I can actually play and just see what it's like to be angry. Who's that? What are you doing there? Is that any good? It is. Okay. Oh, thank you so much. Anyway. So she got up and she said, maybe because she just came out of meditation and she didn't know really how to react. It was all sort of automatic. So she got up and stood up, and this guy was glaring down at her. And she said these words had just come out of her mouth. And she was looking at him and said, "You've got such beautiful blue eyes, like my baby Holly in Sydney." And all the circuits, the angry circuits in his brain just fused. He didn't know how to handle that. He just blasted someone, and she said he had beautiful blue eyes. That was so brilliant. And apparently, he was quiet for a few seconds, and then said, "Really?" And then he signed her contract. He got his stuff straight away, and when he went out of the room, she had a contract signed, she wanted to go and take a rest. Been up all night on the plane, wanted to sort of get over a jet lag and get ready to get the next flight back, job done. But she told me that she wasn't allowed to leave. All the directors circled her and said, "How the hell did you do that? Please teach us how you did that." She had to teach them a little bit of metta meditation because they saw the miracle of how it worked. Took a crazy, angry boss and turned him into this meek fellow who would sign the contract so easily. Brilliant story, but that's how it works. Loving kindness. And it was like natural. You can't sort of play this. You can't sort of pretend. And if she had the loving kindness, those words came out and they hit the spot and she got the contract signed. It's amazing just what that loving kindness can do. It's very, very powerful. It changes people because people feel it. You feel it when someone's got loving kindness. There was one monk which I went to see years ago. He's one of my favorite monks. It's Ajahn Tate. He lived in this monastery by Hin Mak Peng on the Mekong River. And of all the monks I've ever seen, he was the one who really looked and acted like the perfect saint. You know, always peaceful, always kind, always really gentle. And he was one of the first people, when you went into his presence, you sat down and said, "I don't want to go anywhere anymore. I'm not going anywhere, I'm staying here." Because it was like being with a grandfather who would never ever criticize you or hurt you or harm you at all. And you felt so safe and so warm. Because that's what it's like in the world, that so many people hurt you. And so many people, maybe it's intentional or unintentional, but sometimes people, they make you feel embarrassed or upset. There are some people in the world, they're just incapable of doing that, and you know that. You feel so safe, warm, and totally accepted for who you are. And that such beings in the world are such precious. When you go in their presence, you just don't want to go anywhere. I'm staying here for the rest of my life. Until the attendant shoot me out because somebody else wanted to come and see him. But the simile which somebody gave to explain that is a really weird simile, but it's a good one. He said that it's the people with invisible spikes simile. He said everybody has got spikes coming out of their body. Invisible spikes. And most people's spikes, now the average size, the average sharpness, yeah, you can be friends to them, but you come close and you get scratched, invading their personal space, out, and you realize you've come too close. There are some people whose spikes are huge. They just come into a room like this, and you're sitting in the opposite end of the room. You feel really uncomfortable. They've got such long and sharp spikes. You just don't want to go near them. There's a few people in this world whose spikes are just so tiny, but they're still there. You can be friends with them. You can get close to them, but you come really close to them, you get hurt. But there are some people in this world who've got no spikes at all. You can be far away, as close as you like, and you never ever get scratched. Those are the beautiful beings in this world, with no spikes at all. And he was one of those monks, with no spikes at all. Whatever I did, he would never criticize. As I mentioned to you, when he did make mistakes in Thailand, all these very highly attained monks, they would just laugh. They would just think it's funny. Stupid things which people did. Sometimes the stupid things which you told me that you've done, that makes me funny, makes me laugh as well. In fact, sometimes I include him in my stories on the next retreat. Did you hear the one about this monk who said? Anyway, I usually change the names so you don't have to sue me. But it's that wonderful thing of loving kindness, is you're never going to be criticized. You're never going to be told off. And your thoughts, instead of thinking, oh, I'm terrible, oh, I'm a hopeless, why did I do that? Oh, I'm a failure, I'm a hopeless case, you know, something is really wrong with me. You know, it's great, please come again. You made me really laugh so much on that last retreat with all your stupid antics. So that's the sort of lovely thing. When you accept it, your thoughts do become features. Instead of, you know, like two bad bricks in a wall, rather than terrible thoughts with lots of negativity attached to them. So loving kindness actually does that. It takes away your spikes. Which means that when you go at home, when you go out from here, you don't scratch all the people you live with. You know, these are people you love, they're your relations, your family and friends. But you know, we do that, don't we? We scratch them, and they scratch us. And when you we do lots of loving kindness, oh, all those little spikes, they get blunted and softened until they just disappear totally. And you become just like those great people I was talking about. You know, there's no way that you can harm anyone. And that's, I think, why the animals will never harm you. Because they know that you're totally harmless. Why harm this person? In fact, they like you and they love you and they care for you. So, the loving kindness meditation, how we actually do it. I keep doing stories instead of actually doing something. So, I'm going to lead you with this. Remember what I was saying, you take a piece of paper and the match, take a nice easy object. So, the easy object, I'm going to ask you to choose an easy object. Not yet, I haven't started yet. See how much you're in the future. The easy object, the one which I've chosen for myself, I always choose a little kitten. Because I like cats. And I choose like a baby cat, and I try and make it as lovable as possible by imagining it's abandoned, hungry, dirty, afraid, cold, hasn't been fed for a long time. The only people it's ever met in life has hurt it. And imagine how afraid it is. Because a little vulnerable being, it's very easy for me to get loving kindness towards. If you hate cats, then have a little puppy. If you don't like puppies, a little baby. Or something which you find it really, really easy to have loving kindness towards. I know that, I don't know what happened to us, I should have asked Daniel where it is, but for Ajahn Sujato's last retreat, he had a teddy bear here. Has anyone seen that teddy bear? Is it gone? No, it's Ajahn Sujato's teddy bear. He brought a teddy bear up here, so he can put it up here, so people could visualize a teddy bear, because teddy bears are also very easy to get loving kindness towards. Ah, my little teddy. Or those of you who've seen the rabbit, you can think of the rabbit. There's one case. Again, a lady from Sydney. I don't know why Sydney. But she said, I hate babies, I hate cats, I hate dogs, and teddy bears, no way. Oh, we got it. Ah, great. Thank you, Anoush. So, please be me. This is your object of meditation, the Jhana Grove teddy bear.
Thank you, Anish. Does anyone like the teddy bear afterwards? It's nice. We should have to get a proper sort of brown robe. So there's the obvious seats. How well it meditates. Trying to grow teddy bear. So when you look at that, does it give you up, rise up feelings of loving kindness? Of course it does. Teddy bear. Oh, there we go. Is that a call for the teddy bear? Okay. So, you visualize a teddy bear or something. Well, this lady in Sydney, she had a pot plant. And it's amazing that, you know, she hated animals and stuff like that. But she had this pot plant, and that's what she used for her first object of loving kindness meditation. She imagined her pot plant back in her apartment in Sydney. I think that poor little pot plant, if it doesn't have someone watering it and caring for it, it would die. So she started getting all these maternal feelings for a plant. And it really worked. She really got off on it. And then from the pot plant, then she could go on to babies and animals and husbands and stuff. But the pot plant was what she started off with. So anything which you can get loving kindness towards, that's our seed object. And from there we build it up. So if you have any difficulty, the nice China grow teddy bear. It's amazing how still he sits. Okay. Okay, let's start with the loving kindness towards your body, because many of you have been sitting down for half an hour, so stand up. Stretch. I don't know if I can do this. Here we go. Teddy bear. Oh, might as well, he can stretch too. Oh, that's better. Oh, yes. Very good. Now sit down and be quiet. So stretch your body. Get yourself really nice, because it's been a half an hour meditation. So you've been sitting down for, I don't know how many days. Get yourself really nice. You know, it's okay to stretch in the hall. And if ever you get stiff, stretch around. Because that's kindness. You're actually being compassionate to your poor old body. And when you're ready, you can sit down. Don't follow me when you're ready. I should have mentioned, because a few people said they had difficulty with insomnia, you should have borrowed a teddy bear. A couple of them. I've got your insomnia. In the next retreat, you can always bring your own teddy bear. Okay. So you just close your eyes. With your eyes closed, bring your attention into the present moment. Just now. We've all come a long way, many days of meditation. In a short time, we'll all be going a long way back to our different destinations. But now we're here. Like much of our life, we're in between things. So we cherish this in-between moment called now. And in this moment, feel your body. Notice the sensations. If there's any sensation which is demanding your attention more than others, it may be because you've got an itch, then scratch it. If you need to move your body, move it. If you want to cough, cough, sneeze, sneeze. Because the whole purpose of this meditation is to develop kindness. So be sensitive to the feelings in the body, and then be kind to them.
kind as you can to this body. If you do have an ache somewhere, just look at that ache. And like a dear friend, a child, or just like you when you were young, maybe your mother came up to you when you were sick in bed and just stroked your hair and just gave you a little bit of love. And it meant all the world to you. That in the loneliness of pain, someone cared for you. So give that love to the painful parts of your body. She may not be able to take the pain away, but she cares. That's all you need. Until this body becomes as relaxed as you can possibly get it. Not perfect, but as free of discomfort as is possible. And then let the body just relax as you start to focus on the mind. And now we try to use powers of visualization. You can imagine things. You can imagine visualizing something in front of you. This becomes your prime meta object, the one you start with, like the paper to the flame. So I'm going to use my little kitten. You can maybe a puppy, a baby. If you really want to, you can open your eyes and look at Teddy. Close your eyes, visualize a teddy bear. Or any other object which you find is very easy to give loving kindness towards. So where I use the word kitten, you substitute the meaning for your prime object. So I imagine walking in some poor part of town, hearing this sound, a meowing which contains so much fear and pain and desperation, and searching for the origin of that cry, and seeing cowering in a dark corner somewhere a little, frail, abandoned kitten. Just seeing the eyes at first in the darkness, and seeing those eyes just full of terror. Every time in its short life it's trusted someone, they've hurt it painfully. Every time it's reached out, it's been kicked back. And that poor little being cannot look after itself. It is afraid, but yet no, it needs someone to protect and feed it, to warm it. You look at its eyes and see in that fear there's also the hope that this person may be the kind one. You look in its eyes, and you say that yes, this is the kind one. I will care for you. Still see those eyes boring into yours, reaching out your hand, and seeing the eyes and the head draw back in fear. It cannot trust you yet. You keep giving your kindness, your warmth. Little being, I will never harm you. I care. I just can't stand to see you suffering like that, alone, hungry, in pain. I can care. I will care. let me. And imagine your hand reaching out and the little kitten allowing you to touch her. You feel just the bones. You feel the dry blood on its skin where other animals have hurt it. You gently draw it towards you. And the cat is still rigid with fear. It does not know whether to jump away. You bring it towards you so slowly, so carefully, always keeping eye contact, caring, warming, taking away its fear, until you bring the little kitten's body close to your chest and warm it with your warmth, and see the rigid body of fear melt away as that poor little kitten relaxes and trusts you. You hold that kitten so gently, still looking in its eyes. Dear little being, life has been so hard, so cruel, so painful to you, but I will take that pain away. I will give you trust, so you can soon be jumping up and down like kittens do, playing. Soon you'll be eating. Your wounds will be healed. You'll have a home. People who care for you, who love you. Dear little kitten, may you be happy and well. And this is more than just a thought. I will do this. I will feed you. Give you a place to stay. Give you as much milk as you can gulp down. Dear little kitten, I truly care for you. And your health, happiness and well-being is my happiness too. I care for you. As you feel sensations of warmth, tingling, loving kindness start to develop around your chest. The physical counterpart to metta. You can almost feel that little kitten, that dog, that teddy bear next to your chest. As you spread this beautiful emotion of love, of caring, of protection to a being who really, really needs it. You imagine that kitten purring for the first time in its short existence, smiling. It has love, and it gives its love back to you. This poor little being, different species, one heart. You imagine this loving kindness coming from your chest, like a small golden energy, a light, a radiance, which bathes that cat, which heals its wounds, takes away its pain, and more importantly, removes its fear. Little being, you have a protector. I will nurture you until you grow up, and as you grow up, you will have a friend. Someone to play to, play with, a lap for you to sleep on, someone to stroke you, someone who just enjoys your company. Dear little being, I love you, I care for you. It's with all the sincerity you have, you just drench this being with uninhibited loving kindness. And the more you give, the more you feel that blissful tingle in your chest. It's delightful. Once you have started the flame of loving kindness, like a match to a piece of paper, You can put on another object. Now a real person. A person who's probably closest to you in your life. Someone who's very, very easy to love. Maybe a son or a daughter, grandchild. But a real being. It could be, you know, your real cat or dog. It could be alive or passed away. Imagine them as if they're right in front of you. As if you're looking into their eyes, as you've done many times. Dear friend, we've had such wonderful times together. Such great joy sharing our life. I truly care for you. My love goes to you unconditionally. As you give this tender feeling of warmth, kindness, caring, protection to this being, real being, you've known so well. As if you put it invisible arms around them and draw them to you. You have no spikes, they have no spikes. I care for you. Wherever you are, may you be well, free of pain. May you be laughing, enjoying this moment. May you be full of energy and life and love. That's what I wish for you. Dear friend, close, close dear friend, may you be free of pain and suffering. Because I care. I care a lot and deeply. And all the power of my mind, trained in meditation, is all now directed at your happiness and well-being. My dear friend, may you be well and happy, free from all the difficulties and problems of life. Yeah, those difficulties and problems are there, but please know, I'm there with you, wherever you are on this planet. I'm there to help, support, just to listen, to be there for you. Please know that there's someone who cares. That's me. As you spread this golden light of loving kindness coming out from your chest, you send it like a laser beam to them. And when it reaches them, it goes all around them, like an aura, and soaking into the deepest part of them. You bathe them, zap them, drench them, this beautiful emotion of love. The emotion with its characteristic associated physical feeling. You recognize this. You're familiar with it. Until you can be so at ease with it, you can delight in it, and it stays. It's love, metta, kindness, care. And you're giving it right now to this being who's so important to you in this life. Really, really close friend and associate. May you be happy and well. And the more sincere and strong that grows, the more the tingle becomes strong. The light becomes almost visible. Now, without opening your eyes, you can imagine all the people in this room. People you spent the last 9 days with. People who also have sore knees and sore backs. People who have also had the same frustration. This monk talks about jhanas and nimittas. I've hardly been able to watch one breath. People who care for you. And you care for them. Your friends, associates, travelers on the path. Without opening your eyes, spread that beautiful loving kindness to all the people in this room. The monks, the nuns, people sitting next to you, the people behind you, in front of you, around you, the people you shared the cottage with, the people who sat next to you, the people who have cooked for you and cared for you. May all beings in this retreat be happy and well. May I take away your frustrations. May I take away any pain. May I take away all the pain of the past, which you've told me, all the fear of the future. May I take away all those obstacles so you're free, free to be the beautiful person you are, to go into this life so joyful, like you're dancing, like you're skipping in life, rather than dragging the weight of your fears, of your pain. And I sincerely mean that. May all beings in this room be free of pain and suffering. In this moment, may they experience this beautiful joy of being at peace with themselves and the world, totally content, just happy to love and be loved. May all beings in this room be free of pain and suffering, free of anxiety, guilt and anger. May they be free, joyfully free, healthy, happy, at ease in this moment. As this golden light of loving kindness comes out of each person's chest, just like a matrix going to each other, from you to the person next and another person, until everyone is connected in this web of golden light, until it glows so strongly that even the spaces in between get filled with our love, with our kindness, with our metta, until this golden light fills the whole room. Just pure loving kindness, goodwill, giving and receiving, tingling, caring, healing, freeing, liberating love. May all beings in this room, all as one, be free of pain, fear, wanting. May you be totally at peace. May you have the highest of happinesses right now. Feel the beautiful love, which is peace, which is freedom, spreading to everyone in this room, soaking right into the center of you. There's no part of you or the person sitting next to you which is untouched by the sincere, irresistible power of kindness and care. Until this room is filled with the golden energy, you can imagine it without opening your eyes, powerful, booming, bright, intense, until it bursts through the walls, the windows, the doors, spreading out to this whole compound, with all the beings in this compound, even those which crawl on the ground, the birds in the sky, the crows and the magpies and the kookaburras, further the kangaroos, all beings in this compound who share this forest with us. I care for you. When I walk, I'll make sure I don't step on you. I'll respect you as you respect me. All beings in this compound, may you live without fear. May you be free of suffering and pain. My loving kindness goes throughout this compound, until this whole compound is filled with the golden light. So you send it further. Send it up the road where there is a prison, where there's people who are being tortured by the thoughts of what they've done, by the guilt, by the fear. All the beings in that prison, all the beings looking after them, all the beings up there, may you let go of the guilt and forgive yourself so you can be free. May you let go of fear so you can be human once again. May all beings in that prison be free of pain, free of suffering, at peace as much as you're at peace, having joy as much as we have joy, being free as we value our freedom. May all beings up there take some of this golden light. May it heal the wounds in your past. May it free your mind for your future. We care for you. May you spread this golden light further afield to the monks over in Bodhinyana, to the farmers, to the kangaroos, the kookaburras who are laughing at us. All the beings in this locality, doesn't matter what species, birds of the air, things which live on the ground, people, things which jump, all beings in this locality, please know we want to be at peace with you, because we care. We don't just think of ourselves, we think of us. The door of our heart is open to all beings. Sincerely, the golden light coming from us, spreading over this locality, healing, protecting, nurturing. As it goes further afield, short distances, these great cities in Western Australia, cities where there are people sick in hospitals, arguing in the family homes, afraid, in pain, disturbed. And the people who, in their homes, enjoying the Sunday afternoon, all beings in this locality and city, may you be free of suffering and pain. For those with no great problems, may it stay that way for a long time. For those in pain and sick, may I take away your pain. May I take away the fear. I care. As you visualize the waiting rooms, the ICU, the rooms where husband and wives argue and wonder, why I'm arguing? Why do I always do this? Where did our love go? People are afraid. Afraid in the streets, disturbed, lost. May all you beings and all other beings take my loving kindness and heal your hurt. Know that someone cares for you. Many people care for you. You're not alone. As you spread this loving kindness further and further, and don't forget to feel that tingle in your heart, in your chest. As these words continue, allow the emotion to get stronger and stronger. Sincerely, spreading loving kindness over this whole world. There are places where people are blowing themselves up for a cause. Don't criticize them. Love them. Places where people are exploiting others, being cruel, love them, don't condemn them. Animals being hunted, animals dying. Spread that loving kindness towards this whole planet Earth. It needs it desperately. This is your gift, something you can do. May all life, all beings in this great planet Earth be be free of fear in these few moments. Have hope. Just like that little kitten, you can be healed. You can have a protector. You can be free of pain. So give your loving kindness without restriction to all beings. The further you give it to the more people, the stronger it gets. The less specific, the more powerful. May all beings who really need love, care, friendship, may they receive it. May we forgive our misunderstandings. May we look upon each other and give each other the chance of friendship, letting go of the past so we can be friends in the future. May all beings be at peace, free of pain, free from suffering. May usually at this time I ask you to think of a specific person who's not here in this retreat, maybe back at home where you live. Again, someone reasonably easy to feel loving kindness towards. Just one person. Visualize them as if they're in front of you. And take all that golden energy you had once put throughout the whole world and give it just to them. Maybe a partner, child, friend. Dear person, friend, the door of my heart will always be open to you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, I care for you. Care big time. I love you. Think of them and sap them with as much loving kindness as you possibly can generate. Keep the image in front of you and keep bathing with your loving kindness, your care, your well wishing. May my energy heal your pain. May my love bring you instant happiness right now. May you feel the joy which I'm sending to you. May you know I care. And now come back. Come back to the one person we've left out, which is yourself. This little person who's been struggling through their life. So difficult in each one of us lives, always having problems, people misunderstanding us, criticizing us, expelling us. This little person you live with, just like a little kitten, cowering in a corner sometimes. Now's the time to give you that beautiful loving kindness. Imagine that you're seeing yourself in a mirror. You recognize this person, it's me. Smile at that person and say, I care. I care for me. I care enough to wish me peace and freedom and joy. I care enough to let go of all the past, to forgive it. I care enough to be free. Imagining yourself in a mirror. Me, whatever I've ever done, wherever I might ever go, whatever I do, there is one person in this world who will always love me and understand me and accept me, and that's me. The door of my heart is fully open to me. Come in. As you realize this part of you which has been criticized and condemned, I don't know why, which you've kept out from your heart, part of you which you think is wrong and faulty, let that part come in. That is part of you. Respect, care and love. As you look at yourself with all your history and all your future, whatever it might be, and love the whole lot with unconditional, no strings attached love. I will give myself the gift of peace. A peace with my past, a peace with my present, a peace with my future. May I be happy and well, because I care. Just stay with that feeling for a minute or two while I am quiet. Take that golden energy of love, just one way of visualizing it, which you've been spreading to yourself, healing, releasing, accepting yourself exactly as you are, and loving it to bits. All your faults, just like features in the brick wall. Take that golden energy. Draw it in. Draw it in to your chest. Concentrate it until it's this powerful, small ball of golden love just hovering above your heart. And visualize your heart like this beautiful, pure, white lotus, fully open. Fragrant, delicate, totally pure. That's your heart. And this golden ball just hovering on top of that lotus. Now imagine that lotus closing up its petals so delicately. It's the only type of thing which can hold the purity of love. Imagine it closing, 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 until you have this lotus fully closed, the bud containing inside of it the beautiful seed of unconditional metta, loving kindness, to be used another place, another time. Feel it's in there. It won't go. I'm now going to give the last blessing chant. So please just soak in this blessing. Sabbath. This retreat, unfortunately. For those of you who want to check up on the power of metta, when I said just to choose one person in particular at the very end, I do that because I want you to maybe give them a call and ask them, what were you doing at 3 p.m. because that was exactly the time when you did that. Don't give them a leading question. Just say, talk to them about anything. Say, what were you doing about me? You'll be so surprised. They'll say, oh, I was thinking of you. Because I'm really doing this because I want to prove that it actually works. When you send metta, they receive it. And they'll say something. I don't know exactly what they'll say, but they say, yeah, it's 3 o'clock. That's weird. Yeah, I felt so happy. I mean, I was in trouble or pain or something. I thought of you and it just went. You will be surprised. It actually works. So give it a try. It's at 3 p.m. Actually.